Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Can you imagine if you found out that you were intended to be aborted, and even more so, that you survived, but your twin did not? Well, that's the story we're going to be talking about today on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel, and Claire Caldwell is our guest, and this is her personal story. Welcome to Faith and Freedom, Claire.
Thank you so much.
Claire, you walked into an organization called the Coalition for Life, wondering what that organization provided, and it is there or through that organization that you later found out something that I can't even imagine most people encountering. Tell us about your story.
I am adopted, and this was something I always knew growing up. I actually don't remember finding out. I just always knew that I was wanted, chosen, and loved. And I knew that there was a possibility of meeting my birth mother one day. And my sister, who's also adopted, had met her birth mother in 2008. And through that meeting, I realized that there was a woman out there who had done the same thing for me, who had given me my life and my family, just like my sister's birth mother had done for her. And I realized in that moment, meeting her birth mother, that I wanted to search for my birth mother, if nothing else, just to thank her for giving me my life and my family. And so I reached out and found my birth mother through my adoption agency. And on the second meeting, I wanted to give her something that would show my gratitude towards her. And so I got her a ring and a necklace with my birthstone on it. And on our second meeting, I flew to where she grew up, where she still lived, and where I would have grown up if she had kept me. I gave her this ring and this necklace, and she opened it and she cried really happy tears. And then she opened a card, and on the card I had written, "Thank you for choosing life for me. That's the greatest gift I've ever received." And I watched as what were really happy tears from opening the necklace and the ring, I watched as those happy tears turned into really, really sad tears. And she grabbed my hand, and I remember her hand was shaking, and she had these tears in her eyes, a pain in her eyes that I had never seen before in anyone's eyes. And I thought, what in the world is she about to tell me? And I didn't know in that moment that what she would tell me would change my life forever.
And what she told you was something that had to be a huge shock to you. This was, what, 2009? You found out that your mother was 13 years old when she got pregnant with you, and that her mother, which would be your biological grandmother, took your biological mother right to an abortion clinic to get a surgical abortion. What did you find out when your mom began to share?
She did. She took her to an abortion clinic, and she had an abortion, and they told her that her life would go back to normal. But 4 weeks went by after that abortion procedure, and she realized that things weren't going back to normal. And so she went back to that same abortion clinic, and they told her that her abortion had been successful, but that she was still pregnant. They said she had been pregnant with twins, and one had successfully been aborted, but I had survived. And she did seek out a second abortion. She requested a second abortion at this particular abortion clinic, but they weren't able to do it. And so they sent her to Kansas. There was a man who did do this type of late-term abortion procedure, but because they had ripped the amniotic sac that I was in during that abortion that took the life of my twin, they were not able to do that second abortion because of risk of infection for my birth mother. And so 2 weeks after that second attempt, I was born. And I was born 2 months 10 weeks early, 2.5 months early. I weighed 3 pounds, 2 ounces. My hips on both sides were completely dislocated from that abortion procedure. I had club feet and I was in the hospital for 2 months. And over my first 2 years of life, they put me in body cast after body cast as the doctors did everything they could to correct what that abortion had done to my body.
So your adopted parents got a call one day that there was a baby available. And then they said, but there's an issue here. She's got some issues with the club feet, the hips, and she's going to need some medical treatment. And that was a miracle in itself that they were willing to move forward with that adoption. And you went through a body cast. I can't even imagine any of this.
For two years of her life, yeah.
And was able to correct the problems that occurred in the womb.
Yeah, as you can imagine, the call that my parents got wasn't necessarily what they had imagined for 7 years of infertility. Yeah, I still have some complications today from that procedure. I have chronic hip problems and chronic pain even today, but we are just so grateful that I am alive and that clearly God had his hand on me, on my life, and had a purpose that we found out so many years later.
You just testified before the Kentucky Senate regarding the fetal heartbeat bill, which would make abortion illegal after a fetal heartbeat is detected. That's at least 6 weeks post-fertilization, at which time you're just now finding out, or maybe even after that, that you're pregnant. That bill passed 31-6. I can't even imagine six people voting against that.
Yeah.
Your story is so compelling. What is the message you want to share to people? What is the message you want people to know, especially in light of what's happened in New York, some of these other states that are passing these bills or considering passing laws that even would allow abortion, have that decision extend even beyond birth, even like the New York governor, if someone was aborted but they survived, then it's still up to the mom and the doctor as to whether to save that baby. What message do you want to share to people out there, some of whom have gone through this route and made mistakes, and some might be considering abortion, and some of the policymakers? Share what's on your heart.
I want people to know that when I was in my birth mother's womb during the abortion procedure that took the life of my twin, that I was a separate human being with a separate set of DNA right at conception, with a separate heartbeat, you know, detectable as early as 6 weeks, that I was not a part of my birth mother's body. I was a separate human being inside of my birth mother's body. And so if this is about women's rights and the woman's choice and the woman's body, I want to ask people, what were mine? As a woman today, I'm 30 years old, and what I want people to think about, what were mine? I have a daughter who is 6 years old, and if that abortion had taken my life, she wouldn't be here. And so this never just affects one person or one woman or one child in the womb. This affects generation after generation of people that wouldn't be here. And as an abortion survivor, I am not alone. There are hundreds of us that we know of in our country today and even across the world that have survived some type of abortion procedure. And as laws are passed that enable women to get abortions further along in pregnancies and even get to decide if the baby that survives an abortion is human enough to protect, that there are going to be more and more abortion survivors in our country. And so what were our rights? What was my choice? And for those that have, you know, had an abortion or experienced abortion in some way, I want people to know that I have fully forgiven my birth mother. I know that if she had known, and she's told me this, if she had known what abortion would do to her and to her family and to me and to all of those that this one choice affected, that she would not have done that, that she would have wanted someone to stand in the gap for her and to walk alongside her. And so there is hope and healing, and there are resources and people that want to help women walking into an abortion clinic that don't know that they have another option.
Well, thank you, Amen. Claire, for sharing. Thank Your you. Website is Claire Caldwell, C-U-L-W-E-L-L, Claire Caldwell.com, ClaireCaldwell.com. Our special guest is Claire Caldwell, and she has a powerful story to share. I encourage you to visit her website and share this particular message with your friends on social media and in your email. Go to lc.org for more information. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. Call us at 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.